Matthew 6:19-24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of God.
Friends at home, do keep that open. Friends in the room, I see some Bibles out and some phones maybe. So let's keep those words in mind as we think about them together. Shall we pray? Lord, we want to be not just consumed by the immediate things around us. We want in this time together to be given your grace to think properly about the world, about our lives, about existence, about the future, about everything. Give us that grace, we pray this morning, to see things from your heavenly perspective, that we might see our lives rightly in their right context. So would these words on the page make sense to us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What are you like at making choices? Either or choices. Most of us are much better at both ands, I think, in our today's consumerist world. I'll have one of those, and one of those, and one of those. Click, 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 tap, tap, tap. But some things in life are either or rather than both and. You either go on holiday this summer or you stay in London again. You either get the new kitchen or you make do with the old one. They're either ors. And verse 24 is one of the key ones that we read just a moment ago. You cannot serve both God and money. It's an either or. So in the week of the budget, we're right on topic. The Chancellor's made some choices that will affect us all. We're looking at choices that we make that will affect life, not just here and now, but for all eternity. Now, let me start this sermon by saying that money itself is neither good nor bad. It's a way of swapping things between people. I do my work, someone else grows my food and does that work. In the past, I would have to live near that person and know that person and do some kind of swap with them. But now, money connects people over huge differences and makes the whole world into a global village. And what that means, of course, is that money itself becomes a thing. The cash in your pocket, the number in your account, the card, the app, they embody something. They embody the power to make decisions, the potential to do things. Okay? So that's money. So far, so good. What's not good, according to Jesus, is if money becomes our master. Yeah, that's what verse 24 says, isn't it? If money starts to call the shots, and you or I start to worship money, or worship what money can do and buy. And that's why money in verse 24, if you look at what the translators have done, they've given it a capital M. Jesus is talking about when money is made into a god. Not a real god, of course, but a god substitute. That's why he says you cannot serve both God and money. You will either worship God and use money, or you will worship money and try and use God and probably all the people around you too to get more money and to get what you want with it. So a quick pause. Quick pause to take our pulse. Not literally, necessarily, although by all means. But what is your pulse on this? On this issue of money and how it operates in your life? What kind of importance does it have for you, for me, we need to ask this morning? And what kind of priority does God have compared to money? Is God clearly in number one spot, the first in our priorities? Or is it money? Or is it something or someone else? Or is there perhaps a bit of a tug of war going on? If the answer isn't clearly God, or actually even if it is, then let's come with me. Let's go back to verses 19 to 21 when we meet Jesus, the financial advisor. And it's really striking that Jesus is just being very practical and very real here. He challenges us to think about the long term, not just the next 50 years, but forever, eternity. And he's urging us to invest our lives, our treasure, in a way that makes sense in the light of eternity. Retired people like my parents, like some of us in the room, many in the church, live partly off an old age pension and partly off savings, which has made the last few years pretty challenging. Where can you invest your savings where you get some interest? I got a letter from my building society this week to tell me that they've reduced their interest rate from 0.06% to 0.03%. At least it's not negative yet. But that's the point here. It's about getting a good rate of return on your one life. And all the different options ultimately boil down to just two places to invest, either on earth, where you can see it, or in heaven, where your reward will be future. So let's look at each of those. What rate of return do you get for investing on earth? Verse 19, moth and vermin destroy, thieves break in and steal. That's what Jesus says. That's his financial advice. Don't do it. Don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth, he says. There's such a bad rate of return. Now, again, to clarify, the Bible teaches it's right to use money to provide for our relations, to plan for the future, to enjoy good things in God's world. It's not being negative about having or using money. It's nice to have nice things. But it's not good to make those things our treasure, to make money or what money can do and buy, the thing that we value the most. Either to be a materialist and to invest our lives in stuff and the constant pursuit of more and better, or to be a miser like Scrooge in The Christmas Carol, forever hoarding rather than using what God has given. Perhaps you remember Jesus' story about a man who did just that. He was a hoarder. He was a landowner. He had a harvest came in, and it was a bumper harvest. He said, well, tear down the barns and build bigger barns. And God said to him, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? There was a funeral for a banker at which they sang the hymn, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Only there was a misprint in the order of service. Instead of saying, land me safe on Canaan's side, it read, land my safe on Canaan's side. And of course, there are no pockets in shroud. You can't take it with you. Pickford's will not give you a quote for moving to the hereafter. And it means if your treasure is all in this world, not only can you not take it with you into eternity, but here and now moths and vermin will destroy it, and it'll be a constant source of worry. The new car, the new bike, we're so careful with it, and then it gets its first scratch, and we feel it, don't we? We feel it. We go, oh no, there's a sense of loss. Because what does Jesus say here? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Isn't that true? And where is that car, that bike, going to end up eventually? It's going to be scrapped eventually, isn't it? however much we wax and polish it in the meantime, the new clothes we wear, and we're really pleased, we're really proud, and we go out and say, yeah, I'm looking good, where are they going to end up? They're going to be cleaning rags one day, aren't they? Or compost or something. The flat that you managed to get just right, and you look after it so well, and absolutely wonderful, but what's going to happen to it in the long run? It's going to fall down, isn't it? This building, it's not going to last forever. My own body, age is eroding it, and death will take it away eventually, won't it? Do you and I realise that? And do you and I invest our one life in the light of that? What's the alternative? According to Jesus, verse 20, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. You see? Jesus is all for wise investments. He's urging us to get the best rate of return for our one life, to invest where the market won't crash, so that on the other side of Judgment Day, you and I will be able to look back on our lives and say, oh yeah, that's what it meant. That's what my life did. So can you and I imagine doing that? And how? How can we do that? How can we take Jesus' financial advice and invest in heaven, store up treasure in heaven with investments that will last into eternity? Well, actually, Jesus has just been talking about reward earlier on in chapter 6 of Matthew. And actually, the first application of how we store up treasure in heaven is we put his words into practice. That's the first thing we can get our heads around, is actually what he's teaching right through this Sermon on the Mount. If we act on it in our lives now, well, that counts, according to Jesus Christ. He's been talking about giving and praying and fasting, and he's saying, do that, not in a way that you're going to kind of get a reputation as a really holy person, but do that so that actually you're looking for God's reward. And that's the principle. It's looking to Heavenly Father for his reward on your life. What is it from this life now that will be there in eternity? What, can you think of what it is in our experience, in your everyday experience? What will still be there in eternity? People. People are the only continuity point. Everything else will be going to be remade and renewed and made beautiful once more. It'll be like this world, but everything will be right. People are the continuity between now and that future. And one of the most striking things that Jesus said about money in regard to this is in Luke chapter 16, verse 9, he says, use your worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, that's a sermon in and of itself, but the implication of what Jesus says is that the people you've blessed with money now will be your welcoming committee then. And this last year has highlighted how much more important people are than anything else in our lives, certainly than stuff. And Jesus is saying, it's not only going to be about looking after the people you love and helping those in need, it's actually being heavenly minded in everything to do with your money. It's using your money in a way that has the kingdom of God in mind. Spending and giving in a way that's totally in line with God's priorities for you, for the people around you, for the people you love, for people in your community and in the world at large. Do you want treasure in heaven? I do. Do you? Well, use your treasure now to help other people to get there. That's what Jesus is teaching. It's very radical, isn't it? But can you see it actually makes perfect sense if we actually look at the right time frame, namely not just now, but the whole of eternity as well? Can we see how it makes sense? It doesn't make sense to hoard wealth now, to spend our time, our money, our energy, our life surrounding ourselves with temporary treasure, when the alternative option is to invest it in something that lasts forever, in God's kingdom. For example, making church as good as it can be. That's going to cost some money, not all our money, but some of it. And actually, that's worth spending money on. Having a staff team so we can lead and enable the ministry that happens here. We've been privileged over the last 3 years to have other churches help us to have that. How can we do that in the future so that we can release the gifts in the congregation in God's service? That's the point of a staff team, is not to do it all, but to release and to train and equip and enable. That's got to be the vision for the future. Having a great ministry to children when we can reopen and restart that. Having fun summer camps so that they can understand their lives in terms of this big picture, this whole story, and they can discover Jesus for themselves. That's what we want to spend money on, isn't it? To use our earthly treasure to bless people, to help them to get to know Jesus, that will be to your eternal credit. And this isn't just sound financial advice. It affects us at the deepest level. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So how's your heart? I invited us to take our pulse, metaphorically, a few minutes ago. How's your pulse now? How's your heart now as you've sort of engaged a bit with this teaching of Jesus? What do you make of it? How's your heart with God? There are a number of things we could measure, aren't there? We could measure how we spend our time. You will be aware of what you dream of when you've got an idle moment, or what you're most looking forward to when lockdown's all over. Or you could simply get your bank account, your bank statement, your credit card bill, and have a look at that. And how you spend your money will be a good indication of what you love. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Jesus says. Yeah? And this principle of what comes first and of getting things in the right order in our lives, of making God number one, is going to be so important for us as we come out of lockdown, particularly those of us who found it so much easier in the last 12 months, which I think is all of us to some extent, but you may be just thinking, well, yeah, this time on Sunday, I found it so much easier in the last 12 months to prioritise that. Or a life group. It's been brilliant to have life groups over the last months and to do those online, and it's been fabulous. It's all about to be tested, though, isn't it? As everything opens up again, suddenly there'll be all kinds of different things that are wanting our attention, and we think, oh, I've been meaning to get around to doing that, and I will do as soon as I can. The question will be, is God still the number one in our hearts? Or is it that actually, if we went back in time a year ago before lockdown, he was somewhere in the priority list, maybe around number four? And just the problem has been over the last 12 months, we haven't been able to do numbers one and two and three. And so our time has been given over a bit more to the things of God. And we found, gosh, actually, yeah, my faith has grown in the last year. And that's been good to give my time to those things that have grown my faith. The challenge now is that going to stay as number one in our lives? Is our relationship with God going to stay as the number one in our lives? Friends, if God has proved his faithfulness to you and to me over the last 12 months, actually, if he proved it to you and to me 2,000 years ago when Jesus came into the world and died for the sins of the world to bring us back to God, if God is so faithful to you and me, always, in all circumstances, when we respond with a faithfulness to him, making him the number one in our hearts, even when all those other things come back on stream and want our attention and our time and our money. A key practical step we can take to get our hearts in line is financial giving to God's work, because of this principle, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if you start investing your treasure financially in what God is doing in the world, in his kingdom, then your heart will follow. That's the principle. And so I'll do, over the next couple of weeks before Easter, I'll do a couple of finance updates for us as a church, just to help us to review that together. But as we close, let me tell you a story about a friend of mine. When he worked in the city, he would give a percentage of his income to Christian causes and a few other things as well at the start of each month. But he would make sure, as a benchmark for himself, he would make sure that he didn't spend more on gadgets than he gave to his local church. For him, that was his measure. He wasn't tempted by shoes or clothes or the other things. Gadgets was the thing for him. And he just said, okay, I've got to get my heart right. Yeah, I'm giving, but I've also got to make sure I don't sort of start treasuring gadgets instead of God or anything else in my life. Of course, for parents, the biggest investment of your time, of your money, of everything, actually, is in your children, isn't it? And the call here is not only to invest in them having a good life on earth, but to invest in them having treasure in heaven, and to make the most of every opportunity to help them in that, and also to set them an example that they will follow, so that they themselves invest their time and money and lives in treasure in heaven, not just storing up stuff on earth. In all of this, the question for you and me as we close is not how much treasure do you and I have, but how are you and I using what God has entrusted to us? Is God first in our hearts, or is he somewhere down the list? Are you and I trying to do a both and with God rather than the either or? Either he's in number one spot or he's not. Friends, we want to worship God and use money, not the other way around. Let's invest our lives in the light of eternity. To do that will mean eternal joy when we meet God face to face, and satisfaction for our souls in the here and now.